Building a Billion-Dollar Company, 10 citations at a time. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Thanks for downloading us today. In announcing the appointment of Eilif Sirk Hansen as ExoJet's new chief financial officer this week, President and CEO Paul Tow mentioned the goal to become a billion-dollar company. Today, we'll find out more about this vision in a conversation with Paul and with Nick Solinger of ExoJet, recorded immediately after the company made a major aircraft purchase announcement at last year's NBAA convention. My guests today are from ExoJet. We have CEO Paul Tow and Nick Solinger, who is the chief strategy officer for the company. And that's fortunate that you're here, Nick, because we want to talk about what is making you guys different in terms of strategy from some of the other companies we've talked about. Mm-hmm. We have come here to talk today because at the NBAA, Jack Pelton just announced that you guys have ordered another 30 Citation 10s from Cessna. And an order that big seems to require a little more explanation to our listeners who may not understand what you're doing with all these jets. So, sure. Paul, let me start out with you. You come from a background that includes some non-aviation work. Tell us a little bit about your resume in a capsule form and what led this company to come into existence.
Sure. Well, I started my career actually as an aerospace engineer, kind of worked on optimization, which is a bit of my background that actually translates into ExoJet. I then went to work for a software company that made aerospace engineering software, and that's how I got my taste in the software world. After that venture was bought by another company, a group of us left and started our own company called Ariba, which was a concept that I had come up with during my tenure at the software company prior. It was that Ariba went public in 1999. At that time, I sort of got my pilot's license, began to enjoy aviation, and began to recognize some of the fatal flaws of inefficiency of the models that existed. In about 2005, a couple of us, including Nick, began thinking about the problem of making it more efficient, and it formally launched ExoJet beginning of 2006, and we had about 8 or 9 employees. Today we have about 200 employees, so we're growing at quite a growth rate. We have a much more efficient model that utilizes the fleet more effectively than, say, a single corporate jet solution where a corporate flight department is managing 1 or 2 jets, or the fractional model where you have these enormous up and down swings in demand on the fleet of the owners. Obviously, Thanksgiving is a lot more stressful on the fleet than someday in the middle of the summer. We have a model that allows us to dynamically allocate a certain amount of our capacity between the charter markets and our guaranteed owners. And the two coupled together allow us to utilize the fleet incredibly efficiently. And it's that efficiency that we roll back into the customer in a lower form of a lower price that they pay to access private aviation.
And I would imagine a way lower price than they would pay to manage an in-house flight department.
Substantially lower. In fact, with our model, you buy the jet. There are no fixed costs, no insurance costs, no hangar fees, no pilots, no training, no parts, no maintenance, no engine programs. We pay all of that. The only thing the owner pays is actually the DOC rate, the fuel plus standard travel fees on the flying, the typical DOC rate, direct operating costs.
Now, if I were putting myself in your position starting up a company like this, I would have to think that it might have been a hard sell from the start to differentiate yourself from some of the other options out there in terms of, mm-hmm. of fractionals and that sort of thing. This sounds like it must have been kind of capital intensive on your part. How tough was it to ramp up, and when did the light bulb start coming on over the heads of people who use this service?
Well, it is capital intensive, and our model is very different. It's very different from fractional. It's very different from a charter management company. You know, it's a new business structure that nobody's ever really seen operate before. So it was two big leaps of faith our investors had to take. On one hand, enormous amounts of capital. And on the other hand, okay, a new business model, how to use a fleet. How do we know how that's going to work? Our testing that we did in 2005 and 2006 fortunately yielded phenomenal results. We've been flying over 1,200 hours per year at about less than 3% deadhead rate or unpaid utilization rate. So, you know, you look at the fractional programs, their utilization rates are somewhere in the 750 to 800 hour range, depending on, you know, block versus actual. And they're flying somewhere in the 1,000 hours typically per jet, but at 33% deadhead. So that inefficiency, somebody's got to pay for, and we take that out of the system in our model.
That strikes me as the big thing that the air taxi operators are going to have to overcome in some cases, too, because they're just like a taxi on the ground. I mean, whereas a taxi that takes you from the airport to your hotel is probably running close to 50% deadhead, it's probably not easy to get much better than that in an air taxi operation.
That's true. We do a number of things. For example, coupling an owner flight with a charter flight. When you couple those two together, I can easily attach the beginning point and the end point and then opportunistically pick my charter flights to couple up with my owner flights. That's kind of the magic of our system. We also do a number of other things to be more efficient. Just like an airline, we have a single class of aircraft, the super midsize Citation 10. You can do any trip in the United States coast to coast. Focusing and concentrating on one aircraft type where we bring the maintenance in-house. We do it all at night between any one of our three to four different maintenance centers around the country allows us to, again, be a lot more efficient in utilization. The aircraft is available during the day because maintenance is always done at night. So that means that we have the capability to service a lot more capacity on our fleet, the 365 days when, you know, during the day when most people fly.
Well, this sounds like a great idea. We're going to take a break here and come back and talk to Nick a little bit about strategy going forward. But this is fascinating. We will watch with continued interest. And thanks for taking a few minutes out to join us today.
You bet. My pleasure.
We're talking with Paul Tao, who is the Chief Executive Officer of ExoJet. They're based in California. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with a couple of the guys from ExoJet here. We've heard from Paul Tao, who's the Chief Executive Officer. Nick Sullinger is here, too, who is the Chief Strategy Officer. And it's interesting, Nick, I talk to a lot of people from companies who don't have a chief strategy officer. Tell us a little bit about your job and why you like it.
Well, I like it because it's inside of a great company with a great team, and so that's the biggest thing. But
right answer with the boss sitting here.
Well, if you met some more of our folks, you'd probably agree with me as well. We looked at building the company differently than a lot of aviation companies did, and some of it is because of the diverse background that we have as a team. We have people from commercial aviation, we have people from technology, we have people with backgrounds in private aviation, and so my role kind of embraces this unique approach of putting together the best practices of all these different segments of aviation and business into a new model. So I'm responsible for everything from product development, what is the product that we deliver to our customers, how do we do it, all the way through the technology platforms that we use to run our business on, so the schedule optimization, some of the things that Paul talked about earlier. And so we've lumped that together in even though it says strategy, it's actually pretty applied day to day as to how we run our business.
Well, you talked about your customers. Tell us who your customers are, because I think I have a general idea, but I don't want to assume anything.
Sure. We decided decided strategically to focus on two very, very large markets. And we did that after talking to a lot of customers and looking at where the growth was in private aviation. The fractional market, which was the market segment that got a lot of fanfare coming, going back to, you know, middle 80s when it was announced, was a great product, but it really had become tapped out. It wasn't growing. It was flat to down. All the growth in private aviation was in on-demand travel, where people wanted a high quality of service available by the flight, and we're having trouble finding that in the market because the charter markets are so fragmented and populated by small operators with one or two aircraft, you know, 10 or 12 years old on average. The other market that was booming, is continuing to boom, is the ownership segment. People who are flying 200, 300, 400 hours a year or more for their business travel as well as personal travel, that segment is what's fueling the growth of this industry. That segment's also 85% of the spending in private aviation, and they are poorly served. There are a lot of companies that would be delighted to use a solution that is a whole product solution. They can just, you know, sign up to a program, get the service they want, but they found their only alternative is to go buy a plane, put it in the flight department, staff it themselves, and make all that investment. So we've targeted that segment that's evidenced in our customer results. We've grown from our start to over 500 customers now. The customers are split about a third between large corporations, investment firms and partnerships, and high net worth individuals. And so it's a really well-balanced customer base across all segments. The average customer on our guaranteed solutions is flying north of 200 hours a year, and they're often evaluating starting a flight department and decide that this is a better solution for them to get a, you know, tap into a fleet, all Citation 10s, serve multiple executives at once. You never have to worry about scheduled maintenance, never have to worry about any of the issues with running a flight department.
Why Citation 10s, and is that decision working out for you? It must be. You just bought 30 more.
We looked really carefully at the market and which jets were in demand. And in the United States, in the North American market especially, the demand for super mid-sized jets is about three times the demand for any other jet category. It's been growing leaps and bounds over the past few years, and it's forecast to continue to grow. And we see that growth in the demand for our own programs. So it's the right product for the customer. They can fly anywhere in the United States, coast to coast. It's also has very low DOC costs for short trips, so it makes a lot of sense if you have a north-south flight as well. We decided on the Citation 10 because it's got a great feature which really enhances the ROI for a lot of people, and that's its speed. Mm-hmm. Doing the coast-to-coast trips up to an hour faster than other jets really magnifies the value proposition for the customer who's buying it for their business to save time, to be more productive.
You guys use exclusively new jets. Is that a better model economically?
It's a much better model economically. We controlling the quality of the product for us begins at four visits to the factory for every airplane, where we work with Cessna in partnership to make sure that the plane in its manufacturing process comes off the line and can go into service the day it comes off the end of the line. So it allows us a lot more control. It gives us a lot more reliability. We run probably about 20 points higher in reliability than the same aircraft do in fractional fleets because of our approach to only new jets, the integration with the manufacturer, and how we run them once they're in our operation with all in-house maintenance.
Well, I guess I'd ask both of you where your future customers will come from now that you have an established model and you've shown what you can do. Do you expect to find more people coming from the fractional side or more people coming from the side where they've just figured out that it doesn't pencil out to own your own jet?
Yeah. You know, interesting, I'd say about two-thirds of our large volume customer base, the customers that either lease or own from us flying more than 200 hours, come from bad experiences or other experiences with a flight department. They got sick and tired of, you know, single jet, broke down, the management headaches and so forth. The plane got old and it just realized, you know, it's not so cool to own your own jet. You know, it does come with a lot of headaches. So they want to simplify their life. They want a more efficient solution. And at least two-thirds come from that arena. The other third comes from exiting fractional users. Mm-hmm. You know, they've grown out of the program. They want a higher degree of service, a higher degree of quality. They're flying more hours, and they realize it's just not economical inside fractional programs. They're too expensive. So they begin exploring purchasing an aircraft or doing something else, and that's how they stumble across us.
What's that old joke? The second best day in my life was the day I bought my boat.
Yeah, right.
The best day in my life was the day I sold my boat. I think right. A lot of people have that same experience with in-house flight departments.
Oh, yeah.
You both have enlightened our listeners to something that I think is really going to be worth watching. You're doing it differently from anybody we've seen. And the relationship with Cessna is very unique and makes obvious how serious you take the maintenance and the part about making sure that you have the right plane for the customer. We'd like to thank you both for stopping by and talking to us today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
My guests have been Paul Tao, the Chief Executive Officer, and Nick Solinger, the Chief Strategy Officer for ExoJet. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack here at NBAA in Atlanta. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.